This was Sri Lanka, as the seawater flooded inland. Thousands have lost their lives here, and government officials say more than 1 million people, around 5% of the island's population, have been affected. The floodwater came inland for several hundred meters. Some victims were washed away as friends and relatives screamed.
It was 3 years ago on December 26, 2004, that a 9.0 magnitude earthquake off the coast of west coast of Sumatra, Indonesia, triggered a tsunami of such enormous force that it ultimately devastated 1,000 villages and towns in five countries: Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, Thailand, and Somalia. The surviving vacationing tourists were able to leave the destroyed resorts and head home. The locals were left to realize they no longer had homes. Aid was plentiful, as was the media coverage, but the latter waned, and now 3 years later, one aid organization has released its own three-year assessment of the work it's accomplished in the region. Save the Children's report can be found on its website, savethechildren.org, and its president and CEO, Charlie McCormack, joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Charlie.
It's a pleasure.
So once all the media coverage waned and all the money that had been donated to various charities, your group, like many, had to make a transition from emergency relief to long-term investment. What long-term projects were most important to get started?
Schools, health facilities, and shelter. So it was replacing all of the vital support systems for people that had been swept away.
And what kind of success have you had with the school system?
We have been able to build upwards of 42 schools, distribute 500,000 textbooks, and see that almost every child in Aceh has been able to return to school.
And in terms of their homes, I have to imagine that came first.
It was all happening pretty much simultaneously. So clinics, schools, and houses have all been going up really pretty consistently for the past 3 years.
You said clinics. What were the big medical needs?
Well, of course, initially in the first days, weeks, and maybe the first month, it was stabilizing the health situation, making sure that there weren't epidemics, dealing with those who had been injured. And one of the great successes is that those who survived the actual tsunami had their health stabilized, and none of the epidemics that people feared ever happened.
I'm curious if the people who are actually in the region have gotten involved in the building process.
Yes. I think particularly the non-governmental organizations worked hard to be sure that people participated in the process. It's always a balancing act between moving quickly and getting shelter and food and medicines distributed and involving people, but I think the balance has been a pretty reasonable one.
What's been the thing that has been the most difficult or perhaps frustrating on your part as you worked on this project for the past 3 years?
I think the biggest challenge has been coordinating with the many, many organizations that have been involved in the tsunami response. Everyone was focused on their own missions and activities, and yet it was really ultimately one effort, and the coordination was not what it should have been. I think we've learned a lot about that, and in the typhoon in Pakistan a month ago, the coordination was much, much better.
Oh, that's interesting that your organization learned from past lessons. Can you give us an example about the way the organization was able to use the lessons of that tsunami to talk about to work with the typhoon victims?
Yes, I would say two or three things about the typhoon. We've all learned the old lesson that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and so what's called disaster risk reduction is something that we and others have been doing in Bangladesh. We're also doing in Aceh and Sri Lanka now. There was a typhoon several years ago, very similar to this recent one, in which 140,000 people died, and it wasn't even 1% of that this time, and it was the prevention that made the difference.
And when you talk about prevention, what are you talking about?
Well, it's early warning. Mm-hmm. So seeing that the whether it's weather forecasting, whether it's tsunami sensors, whether it's earthquake assessments, that the the early warnings are provided that there are drills and that people, families, and children practice what they need to do to be safe during an emergency, that materials are stockpiled, that families know what they need to do. So it's all that kind of fire drilling that we may practice as directed towards emergency circumstances.
Obviously, from the name of your organization, Save the Children, that's your focus. What particular issues were most prevalent for kids who had survived the tsunami? I know a lot of kids were orphaned.
Well, there are different different crises at different phases of the emergency, but in the early days, an awful lot of children, tens of thousands, were separated from their families. So family reunification was a key issue. As you say, if children were orphaned, they almost certainly still had aunts or uncles or grandparents mm-hmm. or extended family members. So it was finding these relatives and establishing children within an extended family situation and then getting a normal kind of life reestablished with education, health care, shelter, et cetera.
I noticed on your website you have some pretty pie charts describing how much money has been spent so far, and there's still a fairly large chunk to be spent in the next year on this region. What's to be done?
Well, first, we raised about $268 million worldwide totally, and we have currently spent about $211 million of that. So we're on schedule. We knew this was going to be a five-year effort. One of the great communications challenges is having people understand that the real work begins after the emergency crisis phase has gone by. Going back to the cyclone, very little loss of life, but hundreds of thousands of people have lost their homes, their schools, and their land. So even though it was a big success in saving lives, reestablishing lives is a huge task, and we all have to learn to realize it's not just about the number of deaths, but also the amount of destruction.
On this anniversary of the tsunami, if you could tell our listeners to remember one thing.
I would say remember that there are scores of silent emergencies in Congo, in Somalia, in Darfur that go on day in and day out, and it's important that all of us support not only the highly visible crises, but also the ones that go on day after day.
And for the record, we've talked a lot on our show about where charities, how much of their money goes towards the actual incidents, various incidents that they work to, situation they work to improve. I noticed on the bottom of your website, 90%.
Yes, we promised, and we have made sure that 90% of every dollar contributed goes to program services for children and families.
President and CEO of Save the Children, Charlie McCormack, have a great new year.
And you too, Allison. Thank you very much.